Amen. We're talking about parenting, grace-filled parenting today. Who's excited about that? Because here's the thing. Some of you are like, well, I'm long past those days. Or you're like, well, I'm not quite there, so this doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. It applies to everyone in so many ways. And kind of not new to parenting, but is going to be entering a whole new world if you don't know about it yet. I don't like to take this from you, so I will let you say
it.
What this is.
You can have it if you want.
But I think half of them already know what it is because they are there going, oh, you know.
Yeah.
But go ahead and say it.
Kelsey and I found out Monday that we are going to be having twins.
Woo!
That's two, in case y'all don't know that. That's two. At the same time, that's two. You know what I'm talking about. I know you do, Richard. That's two.
All right.
That's
amen.
Four.
Amen.
We're excited, though. We're happy to raise them with y'all.
Amen. 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 So, definitely keep praying for them as they enter this new season of their lives. But also, we have Chris and Kim Burnham. Kim is currently on hospital bed rest at about 35 weeks today with twins. So, here's my deal today. You've got a card in your seat, and there's a big honking board out there in the lobby displaying all the Kids Cove needs as we move forward in our new ministry season in August. But also, there's an opportunity for every single one of you, wherever you are in your life, to check that you're interested. Just interested. It doesn't mean check, I'm signing my life away. Here, no, it just means check, put your name, your email address and your cell phone number, because as we continue to have to put before you and to encourage you, God is moving in this place. And instead of being reactive like we've had to be the last year of growth, we want to begin to be more and more proactive. Amen? And so we, of course, need more volunteer base. We need more crew members to step up and to acknowledge that where you feel weak, God is super strong. Where you may feel time crunch, we'll work with that. All we want to do is to put before you the information, the resources, and we're not just going to throw you into a position that you may be interested in. We'll equip you, we'll train you, we'll help you, we'll resource you, and we'll encourage you, and then push you into the den of lions, okay? All right, so today, let me ask you a question. Could anyone else use a parenting shot in the arm? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if anything like me, you find yourself drifting away from the parenting principles that you hold extremely valuable sometimes, because there's several times a day that this tends to happen, right? But for me, in the morning, over coffee, I'm ready to embrace my day. I'm committing it to honoring God, honoring my wife, honoring my children above myself. And then they wake up, and so does my sin nature. You know? You know? And so... So who's with me this morning? I already know one that's definitely with me and ready to rock and roll. He's had his coffee, no doubt. But who else is with me this morning? Whose language am I speaking today? You know, parenting is not easy, amen? So I want to jump into this, and here's my goal today. I love parenting. I love my precious Natalie and my awesome Eli. But even though I feel like I've got a decent amount of experience and I was a student pastor for 17 years dealing with hundreds of middle schoolers and high schoolers, I want us to hear from God's word today. I don't want you to hear, I totally went a different direction than I was going to on Monday. I felt like I was, like last week, I was very candid with you. I was just having fun with you about marriage, but the seriousness of it. And I want to speak into that in just a moment. But today I want you to hear from God's precious word. And I want that to be your encouragement. I want that to be your motivation today as you step into this role. Whatever season you're in when it comes to parenting, your kids are grown, you got grandkids now, you don't have kids yet, so you're still preparing the way for that, or you're smack dab in the middle of this heavy season, you're like, there is not a book on the planet that can help me with this situation, you know? But before I move into that, last week I talked about marriages, and At the very beginning, I talked about divorce. I just simply said, if you are divorced or you're grieving still from a divorce or a breakup or whatever it might be, or a long time ago, I just said, I'm sorry and that we're here for you. And then I went into marriage. And then I had some circumstances, some situations come about over the next 48 hours that just really hurt my heart. And so I just want to say this. If you have been divorced, I did not in any way, shape, or form want last week to be something for you to walk away from feeling beat down or feeling discouraged because you didn't hold to what I was talking about. I pray that you will discern greater with me, and that you won't overanalyze certain things, and that you will see that we want to be here for you. And it really was heavy on my heart because I found out someone else in our church has gotten divorced in the last week. And it was just like right after I'd spoken that message. And a lot of you, or a lot of the folks in our church, are hurting from divorce. And some people have been divorced and are remarried and experiencing great things in their marriage or continued struggles in that marriage. And so we're a big, wide open smorgasbord of scenarios when it comes to family. And so the thing that hurt my heart the most is that I had to sit there talking with my wife, and she had to say, you're not the Holy Spirit. You're not the Holy Spirit. Because I was struggling. We need more programs. We need more mentors. We need more this and that. When ultimately what we need is something that we already have. And how can we continue to communicate that Jesus is enough? But yet, wait a minute, you need all these things as well. So I want to encourage you today, if you're hurting from a divorce, yes, I tell you that he is able, Jesus is enough. But I also want to communicate to you that we have people that want to love on you. We have people here that want to pour into your life. You've got to allow us. You've got to open that door and let us in. Because we can't break down the door, right? So help us, all right, to help you. Amen? All right, so Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. If you would stand with me, we're going to read God's word and be excited about this word, just like we were the very first verse of last week when we talked about submission. Now, I believe for most parents today, you're going to enjoy this first verse, even though we're not going to expand on it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Can I get a...
Amen.
Yeah. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your most powerful word, your love letter to us. God, your book of wisdom for our lives. And I pray, God, that you would speak into not only individuals' lives, but that, God, you would speak into the souls of families, marriages, parents. That, God, you would just touch us in a mighty way and help us to begin taking greater steps towards this very difficult task of grace-filled parenting. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. So there's nothing more important to consistent, faithful, patient, loving, and effective parenting than to understand what God has given you in the grace of his son, Jesus Christ. Understanding God's grace will change you. It will transform you. And as it changes you, it will change the way that you relate to, but also parent your children. All right? And so God doesn't call us to be parents because we are able. Can I get a... I mean, when we read the Bible, you're going to understand that God doesn't call able people to do important things, does he? You see, that Abraham wasn't able. Moses wasn't able. David wasn't able. The disciples weren't able. And the story goes on and on to where you see just throughout Scripture that people are not able. And the reason for this is that there are no able people on this planet. Amen? That's when we begin to get in a lot of trouble, when we think we are able in our own strength. Those people just don't exist. We see that there's a lot of flaw in that. And they surely don't exist as parents, right? No matter how many books we read, no matter how many classes we take, how many seminars or conferences we go to, we still in the day acknowledging, I am not able to do this in my own strength, right? All right, he designed us to be dependent, right? But not dependent on all the things that we tend to lean in on in this world, but to be dependent upon him, to lean in to him. You see, it's not a sign of personal weakness, as a lot of times we feel that way when we admit that I'm weak in this area. Well, that means I'm failing. My character is going to be judged if I admit that. Listen, it just means I am unable as a parent, and I need to tap into something that's much greater than I, that can give me the ability to do something that I can't on my own. Amen? And so none of us has the natural storehouse. You're not going to just be born with a natural storehouse of wisdom and strength and patience and mercy and perseverance that every parent needs in order to do his or her job well. Amen? You wish you could just say, hold on, little Johnny, keep having that temper tantrum, wait just a moment. And you go out in the back and there's a big honking shed and you just open the door and you just take a swig of wisdom. Some parents be taking a swig of something else. They just, okay, perseverance, here we go. No, you see, God calls unable people to do important things, because ultimately what he's working on is not your immediate success, but that you would come to know him, that you would come to love him, and that you would come to rest in his grace and to live for his glory. That's why he gifted you with the ability to be a parent. That's why. God calls unable people to do the impossible, so that in your search for help, because we need it every day, that you would find your help in him. And so in your search for finding help, that you would discover more of the richness of Jesus Christ. You see, God never sends you into anything without going with you. How many of you have been in a parental situation where you felt like you were all alone? I would say all of us. He never tells you to do something without giving you what you need to do it. This is a story of the entire Bible. This is why God sent his son to the earth. But what does this have to do with parenting? Because I don't see a whole lot about parenting in the Bible. Well, it has everything to do with it. It means that if you are God's child, if you have placed your trust in his son, Jesus Christ, as your savior from your inherent sin, it is impossible. It is impossible for you parents to be left to your own limited package of resources. You're not alone. God is in you and God is with you. In the morning, when you dread getting out of bed and facing another hard parenting day, guess what? God is with you. He is with you when your children are in your face and they're disrespectful and they continue to be defiant. Guess what? He's with you. He is with you when you fall into bed with a combination of exhaustion and regret. He's with you. He gifts you with his presence every single day, and he will not turn his back on you until what he has called you to do as a parent is complete. And that day doesn't come to completion until we're on the other side, spending our eternity with him. So if you're a parent whose kids are out of the house or want to be out of the house, or they're 30 years old, your job as a parent, this isn't just for elementary child parenting. This is for all of us. So what I want to do is take this passage today and break down just a little bit of something that will have a lasting impact on your family. That today you could look at this and say, I am walking away from today with something, some steps, some actions that I can put into practice. That something that, you know, I don't walk away from here saying, man, that was pretty good. Just like that last book I read that didn't help me at all. You know? And ultimately, that you would leave here today saying, through grace-filled parenting, a concept that is going to require sacrifice, a concept that's going to require more time investment, a concept that we don't see a whole lot, even in my home at times, that you would see that grace-filled parenting, what it's doing is it goes so far beyond that day and that situation and that week. It goes into developing young champions for Christ, which we are in desperate need of in our society, in our country. We understand that children are to obey their parents and the Lord, for that is right. We get all excited about that. But there's not a whole lot that I need to expand on unless I were just to give you a bunch of pointers on how to parent your kids to help them get to that point. Because that's so much deeper. We want them to honor their mother and father. But today, I want to specifically focus on verse 3, which says, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. And then verse 4 that says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Because you see, as I look at parenting and I do all the research like a lot of us may have done, I've read some of the books and I have my own training and I look at all the different parenting styles and I see what families look like today and I see what's crumbling in families today and I see what's breaking my heart for families today. I see something not only alarming, but something radical that needs to infiltrate those families, so that they can allow that to take charge. And that is the power of a foundation that's built on Jesus Christ. That is full of grace, something that we lack in a lot of our relationships. So when I've noticed that there are about 3 basic parenting styles that I want to focus on a little bit today. We tend to lead toward one style over the other, and sometimes we don't even know that we are kind of subscribing to one specific style, but your parenting style is a reflection of your worldview. It really is. We have the dictator style. You have the dictator parent that says, I'm the parent, you're to obey me, and nothing else. You understand who's in control. Because I said so. How easy is that? How easy of a response is that? And you know we've all done it. In the moment, because I said so. You don't question me. I'm the parent. You need to acknowledge your role, little one. You know? But with the dictator style, they never learn the importance of discipline and love and grace that's balanced. And then you got the worldly style. Children can't be expected to obey in this time, in this day, you know, in our society today. We can't expect that. They do what you want. Learn the hard way. You're going to learn anyway, no matter what I do. Kind of like somebody handing me a joint at one point and says, well, you're going to do it eventually anyway, so you might as well start doing it now with me. Yep. Guess what? They never experience the discipline and love that children honestly do crave. We're wired that way. And then you have grace-filled parenting. And those parents say, I want you to obey me and expect you to obey me just as I obey those who are in authority over me. You see, grace-filled parenting, that style requires that you walk in faith and yet you give unconditional love and unearned grace to your children. It's not easy. Parenting in general is not easy. And then to look at what we're going to lay out today, the carpet of grace-filled parenting that we're going to roll out today is not easy. It's difficult. And I'm going to break down those 3 different types and scenarios just to kind of paint a picture today so you can kind of see what this is. And you can walk away from here today and tell me what you believe is the right response, okay? First, the dictator parent says, obey now or you will be punished. I looked at Brittany the other day and I said, this grace parenting stuff is for the birds. Man, I've been tested so hard and heavy this week, this whole month of preparing for grace. Man, Satan has been like, ha, 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 watch how you're going to be tested, buddy. Oh, I walked into the bathroom the other day and I was like, grace-filled parenting. Ah! Because I was trying so hard to be patient and loving with my kids and to do the very things that we're talking about. And they test you, boy. They know exactly what buttons to push, don't they? Don't they? Even more reason for grace-filled parenting. Obey now or you'll be punished. When the worldly parent says immediate obedience, that's not important. It's not even worth the effort to try. But grace-filled parenting says, I know it's sometimes hard to obey. Sometimes I struggle to obey and follow the authority over me. Let me help you practice obedience by training you as I continue to work on it in my own life as well. The dictator parent says, I'm going to do whatever is necessary to make my children obey. Go get a switch. When the worldly parent says, I have no real authority over this child anyway, it's obvious. So you know what? I just manipulate, coerce, whine, threaten, and bribe them to compliance. And then you have grace-filled parents in this scenario that say, I'm going to obey the clear commands in Scripture to train and to be kind, not harsh, verse 4, and then trust the results to God. I'm going to lean into Him on my parenting. The next scenario, the dictator parent says, I'm going to do whatever it takes because I'm not going to be one of those parents. I'm not going to be one of those parents who have one of those disobedient kids. I can't believe they would do this to me. This is going to be the last time. They may not be able to go to school next week because they're not going to be able to walk. Worldly parenting in this scenario says, believe me, as I prepare for these, I'm laughing and hurting at the same time, just like a lot of you are. I'm seeing you out there. You're like, I just did that yesterday. Worldly parenting says, of course children are going to be disobedient and rebellious. I was. I mean, all my friends were. This is normal. It's expected. There's not much you can do about it. Just let them learn their lessons. But grace-filled parenting says, I'm going to pray for the things that are out of my control, like the hearts of my children, knowing that sometimes God's plan and the struggles that He allows in my life and my kids' lives don't line up with what I think is ideal, but I'm going to choose to trust in His plan and continue to step into this style of parenting where I take the time to teach and to equip and to raise up my children the way that I believe God wants me to. And then the other scenario is dictator parent says, I'm the parent, and guess what? I'm always right. How many of you have been wrong before and had to be the grace-filled parent to go and apologize and ask for forgiveness of your children? And then depending on the Miss Sassy Frass six-year-old you might have, she's like, I knew you was wrong. But I was the grace-filled child and didn't say anything. Oh, Natalie. When worldly parents in this scenario say, there's no right or wrong, it's all relative. Who am I to impose my opinions and my beliefs on my children? There's no way I am apologizing for anything. When a grace-filled parent says, I'm a sinner just like you are. When I'm wrong, I'm going to apologize and I'm going to ask for your forgiveness and I'm going to demonstrate a life of humility and forgiveness in front of you. You see, if you haven't picked up yet, when you look at these grace-filled parenting scenarios, they're not just the in the situation there. It's got the bigger picture in mind. It's got the, this is what I want my child to be as they become a teenager and a young adult. This is how I want them to respond when they're in college. This is how I want them to respond when they're in a relationship. This is how I want them to respond in life. So I've got to lead by example. Because what I've picked up on in my own kids' lives in the way they deal with each other. And sometimes they're tempted to deal with me is when I'm the dictator parent that doesn't want to deal with it and just wants to lay the hammer down and say, because I said so, because I'm the parent, you just need to say yes, sir. You just need to say yes, ma'am. When I step away from that, though, and I try to explain, it's a tall order. It takes time. I'm tired. I don't want to do that. It's so much easier for me to just say, go to your room. I'm not dealing with this. I'm done with it. Ignore them. Just ignore them. Don't even give them any, don't pay no attention to them. We see that playing out in their lives, don't we? Let's be honest. The way we parent, we see play out in the way that they treat their siblings, the way they treat their schoolmates, and the way they treat life. And guess what, y'all? A lot of times in the way they see us treat our spouses is the way they're going to treat theirs in the future. And that's why we've got to pave a new way for young men to be still and to wait for that Proverbs 31 girl. And for that young lady to so cherish her daddy that there's no man on this planet that's going to live up to her daddy. For her to settle and to feel the need for the embrace of some young man that you know may not have the best intentions. So see that playing out in these scenarios. The dictator parent says, well, if this child rebels, I'm going to be angry, I'm going to treat them harshly, and maybe even disown them, depending on the severity of their offense. And we might laugh at that, but do you know how many families that I experience on a weekly basis that one or the other has basically disowned the other? The child doesn't want anything to do with the parent, so they haven't spoken. The parent doesn't want anything else to do with the child because they hadn't learned their lesson. The worldly parent says, every child rebels. This is normal. It's ridiculous for us to expect anything else. When grace-filled parenting says, I'm going to love this child unconditionally, without him having to be good enough. Just like the father of the prodigal son, this child is always welcome back in my home. If the child rebels, I'll be sad, but I'm not going to be angry, knowing how many times I've rebelled against God and how much undeserving of his unconditional love and acceptance I am. No matter what this child does, I'll continue to be Jesus to them and love him back to Christ. The dictator parent says, well, parenting is about me making my child conform to my will. You will do what I say. Worldly parent says, well, parenting is an annoyance. Why did I even have that little thing? Parts of it make me happy, you know, but mostly it's a lot of thankless, frustrating, and unrewarding work. I resent the parts that don't make me happy. I deserve to be happy. When grace-filled parenting says in this scenario, parenting is about showing my children God, about preparing them for adulthood and eternity. It's about self-sacrifice that hopefully they see Jesus in me live before them as an example pointing them to Christ. You see, we've got to be very careful to remember today that we live in an age of grace and to allow our conversations to be seasoned with grace that determine our actions that are going to be for God's glory alone. And to understand in our homes with our children that we are to be fountains of grace. Because I was gonna wreak havoc on your emotions today. I was gonna play a couple videos about parenting that unless you have no soul, you would have shed a tear because you would have imagined your own child. Maybe I'll reserve that for Graduate Sunday. But what I want to communicate today before I close up with just three ways that grace works in parenting is to say this. No matter where you fall in those scenarios, don't allow the evil one in today to make you feel like you're a worthless parent. Well, I'm that authoritative one. I'm that dictator in my home, and I don't want to hear anything they say. They're going to hear what I say, and they're going to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, or they're going to get the beat down of their life. And that's what they're going to learn. And they're going to be, they'll probably be a little reserved from me because they fear me so greatly. They should fear you, but you should transition that teaching to teach them how to fear God in a healthy way. And so what I'm going to encourage you today as we go into this is to feel empowered today, to grab hold of something that maybe you haven't in the past that is going to be a catalyst for you to becoming a greater parent in whatever season you are of parenting. And to understand that as you grab hold of these scenarios that I want to tell you, grace works. It works. So three ways that grace works in parenting is, number one, grace works to open your eyes to see yourself as a parent accurately. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, God uses things like our marriages and our parenting to expose thoughts, to expose attitudes, and to expose certain desires in our hearts that we previously may have denied were there. God uses the irritation. He uses the impatience. He wants to use the anger and the lack of gentleness and joy to show how much we need His forgiving and transforming grace. Because once we understand His plan for us and grace, how much easier it's going to be for us to be a fountain of grace towards our children and other people in our lives. God's plan is to make His invisible grace visible to children by sending parents of grace to give grace to children who need it. How many times do we say, it's only 5 years old? When you're looking at the spouse or whoever's doing the parenting and saying, I just want to remind you, they're only six. They're only four. They're only 10. Where were you when you were that age? Parents who know that they need grace tend to want to give grace to the children who are just like them. Our children are sinners, just like we are. So grace works to open your eyes to see yourself as a parent accurately, but also, number two, grace works to grow and to change you as a parent. Hebrews chapter 12, the latter half of verse 5 and 6 says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one He loves and He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. Think about how beautiful this is. In every moment that you are parenting your children, the Heavenly Father is parenting you. As you are lovingly confronting your children with the hope that they will confess their need and to commit to change, the Heavenly Father is confronting you. God hasn't just sent you to do His work in the lives of your children. He will use the lives of your children to advance His work in you. And number three, grace works to free you from the prison of regret. Because I knew coming in today, just like last week, as I had people that were like, high five, but guess what? My marriage is nowhere near there, nor will it ever be. It's a good sermon, though. I don't want people to think that way. I want you to embrace grace and to be able to engage with the dynamic purpose and plan that He has for your life. Regret is one of those things that is going to hold you back in every area of your life. Because God doesn't want you to live looking in the rearview mirror, but to looking full force ahead and to be relentless in your pursuit of Him. Philippians 3:13 says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, one of the most beautiful things about God's grace is that it welcomes you to fresh starts and new beginnings. Today, for somebody in here today as a parent, can be a new beginning, can be a fresh start, because way too many parents are paralyzed by the what ifs and the if onlys. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to stumble. You're going to have to ask for your kids' forgiveness a lot of times. You're going to look back and be embarrassed by things that you said and things that you did at times. You're going to be humbled as a parent. Yes, you will look back and maybe have some regret, but it's important to understand that although regret is a sign of a humble heart, it is also dangerous and debilitating to live in regret. Living in regret robs you of your confidence. It weakens or steals your hope. And it dictates how you're going to continue to parent and love other people for the remainder of your life. On the cross, Jesus bore the entire burden of our guilt and our shame. On the cross, Jesus purchased our complete forgiveness, past, present, and future. This means that we can boldly come to Him in our failure, in our struggles, and receive His forgiveness. Deposit our regret at His feet. Hear that today. Deposit your regret at His feet today as we close and move on to a new and better way of doing what He's called you to do as parents. It's time to let it all go. It's time to move forward and to understand something. You are not able. You can't do this alone. You can't do it without Him. So quit trying to read all the books. Quit going to the conferences or reading the articles on the parenting websites. I know I do the same things, and there's some good nuggets of truth. But still, if you grab hold of a nugget of truth and you begin to try to apply it without His strength, it's not going to work. And so as the band comes forward, listen, God has called you to be a parent. God has called you to be a parent. How does He give you what you need for His calling? He gives you what you need by giving you Himself. That's all we need. And in giving you Himself, He is going to shower His amazing, forgiving, rescuing, transforming, empowering, and wisdom-giving grace down on you. The one who called you to this very important job is with you. And because He is always with you, you as a parent can always have hope. I was a student pastor for 17 years. And I continue and continue and continue to want to communicate so much more than what I communicated this morning to parents. I wish I could write a book on all the experiences that I've had. But I believe that no matter if your children are grown and have kids of their own, or your kids are just now starting out to experience the fact that they have a sin nature, I just want you to hear my heart this morning. I know it's tough. I know how hard it is. But fathers, I want to encourage you to lay your little girls at the altar today. Treat her like a precious princess. And may she look to you like you truly are her king. Date your little girls. It don't matter if it's just a little McDonald's and Netflix, but date them. If you've got boys, no matter how young they are, start teaching them to change the bed sheets. Start teaching them how to pump gas and how to put a worm on a hook and how to pet the sides of a nasty, scaly, slimy fish. Let them fall and get bumps and bruises. Go climb a tree with them. I know you may not make it very far, but... And mamas, ooh, I can't even come close to a mama's heart. I can't even do it. I see the way my wife is with our kids, and it blows my mind. No matter what age your kids are, no matter what you've done, they always want to hear that voice on the other line. It says, I just wanted to call and tell you I loved you. And I want to end with this. Don't let the sun go down. Don't let the sun go down without making it right with your kids. Whatever you have to do. If you have to call them every night for the next week, if you have to start a new season of, we're going to pray tonight. We're going to kneel at your bed. You don't have to say anything tonight, but I want to pray for you. Because as Mother's Day comes up in the next few weeks, I'm past the emotions of not having my mom in my life. But there's some sting there. There's some wish that things were different. But for a lot of you, and then 2 weeks ago visiting my dad who has 50 years, even if he's listening to this right now, he has 50 years of regret that he's trying to make right. Make it right today by striving to be a grace-filled parent. Father, we come to you and we are incredibly thankful for your Holy Spirit, God, because we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in our own ability, in our own power. It's not possible. But God, with you, we know that all things are possible. And I believe that every parent in here, while we feel justified sometimes to be that dictator parent, or we're so tired that we feel justified in our worldly parenting, God, I believe deep inside all of us desire to be grace-filled parents. Help us to step into that and to be what you've called us truly to be. It's in your name we pray. Amen.